hear this great call during Advent of the church to get ready, to get ready. Advent is a season of preparation, preparation. Now, most folks are thinking of presents and parties and poinsettias. Amen? Presents, parties, and poinsettias, with the emphasis over here on some presents. But I'm going to say that what the Lord is really asking us to do, because He's already come at Bethlehem, that's been fulfilled. But what He is going to do is come again in glory. And whether He comes to us in our lifetime or we go to Him after our lifetime, either way, we are going to go one day and we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to answer to Him. And so the church says, get ready, prepare, prepare. And that hymn that we sang, talking about fleeing to the mountains and rocks and hills passing away and fire rolling around the earth and all of those things, is just a reminder. It may not sound like an Advent hymn to you, but it is. It's saying all these things are going to pass away, but the Lord remains. And we're going to go one day and we're going to answer to Him. So again, the great cry of the church in Advent is prepare, prepare. Now, with that in mind, let's take a little bit of a look at this gospel, just a little bit of the context, and then we'll look at the principles, the preparation. First of all, one of the songs, in fact, a lot of us older folks, I don't know how much you younger folks hear these things, and I hope you will as you get older, but a lot of us are familiar with these songs from the Messiah, the Messiah. And one of them simply says, but who may abide the day of His coming, or who shall stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire. And so again, that great question goes up regarding the Lord. It says again, but who may abide the day of His coming, and who shall stand when He appears? So again, that's a quote from the book of the prophet Malachi. Malachi. And so again, we see that there was that concern that when the Lord came, even ancient Israel said, will I be able to stand when He comes? Will I be able to endure the day of His coming? Because God is a holy God. God is a mighty God. And you got to be ready. You don't just walk into God's presence with jeans and a t-shirt. You got to get a little gussied up and you got to get ready to meet God. So who may endure the day of His coming? You see, who shall stand when He appears? Now, the same book of Malachi gives this reassurance. The Lord says at the very, and this is, by the way, this is the very end of the Old Testament, the closing words of the Old Testament. Very interesting the way the Old Testament ends. It goes like this. Lo, says the Lord, lo, He says, I will send you the prophet Elijah. I'll send him back before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come to the land and strike it with doom. And that's it. The Old Testament ends right there. That's the very last words of the Old Testament. Close. The curtains close on the Old Testament. And that then helps us to understand the beauty of today's gospel, because the curtains open again on the New Testament. And what do we see? John the Baptist, we heard in the gospel today, John the Baptist out in the desert, crying out, prepare a way for the Lord. He is coming. Prepare. And Jesus says about him, he says, if you're ready to accept it, he is Elijah who was to return. The Lord teaches that John the Baptist was that Elijah figure, that God promised that he would send Elijah, that he would send, in this case, it's John the Baptist, and that John the Baptist would call and bring a people together who would be ready to accept Jesus when he came. You know, a lot of people didn't accept Jesus, did they? A lot of folks were very angry and got angry and crucified him. They didn't want the Lord, you see, but there was a group of people who John the Baptist, that Elijah figure, got ready. And that's where we are today. The curtains closed on the Old Testament. I'm going to send Elijah. Otherwise, when I come to the land, I'll strike it with doom. But I will, says the Lord, not forsake my people. I will prepare a people. And they, some of them, will be ready when I come. You want to be ready? You want to be among those who get ready? The Lord's going to come again. And once again, we, just like they did, have to be ready. And that's why right now, it's like the church is John the Baptist, crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. And so that's where we are today. Just a little bit of context, all right? So that we see that John the Baptist isn't just some kind of crazy guy out in the desert who comes out of nowhere. He was actually sent by God to get them ready when Jesus came the first time. And you know what, church? We still need John the Baptist. We still need Elijah. Are you praying with me? And that's the church. That's why I'm glad you're here today, because the church, just like John the Baptist, just like Elijah, still cries out, prepare, prepare. Now then, how to prepare? And that brings us to John's teaching today, which are, if you will, some principles of preparation. Principles of preparation. Now, simply, I'm going to give you some key words and we're going to look at them. There are basic key words in terms of these principles, and here they are, and I'll list them and then we'll describe them. Ready, right, reverent, refined, and recognizing. Five basic words. The first one, ready. Let me just read you the whole thing of John the Baptist first. He simply says this, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill be made low, and the winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of our God. And those five principles I just listed to you come from that simple proclamation of John the Baptist. So the first principle, ready, ready. Come on over here, somebody help me out. Say ready. That didn't hear. They weren't ready to say ready. Now you're ready to say ready? Say ready.
Ready.
All right. Ready. We want to get ready to see the Lord. The text simply says, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, most of us know how to get ready for some stuff. I said some stuff. You know, most of us spend years getting ready for preparing for careers. Going to school, passing the test, writing the papers, getting the old diploma. We spend all that time getting ready for a career. We know how to get ready for smaller things. Most of us are getting ready for Christmas. We're thinking presents, parties, and poinsettias. Most of us know how to get ready for April 15th. Any of you young folks know what April 15th means? I heard one of them say taxes. Yeah, amen, amen. You gotta get ready for the man. Amen. We know how to get ready for go to work in the morning. See, we know how to get ready. But you know, it's amazing. We know how to get ready about stuff that's passing away. We know how to get ready for things that aren't going to last. But you know, isn't it incredible how many people spend almost no time getting ready for the one thing that's certain? That they're going to one day stand before God and they're going to have to answer to Him. So the cry goes up, prepare, get ready to meet our God, get ready. Oh, church, we know how to get ready. Now listen, I don't want to give a whole discourse on getting ready, but some real basic things about getting ready. I hope you're praying every day. Church, if we're not praying, we're not going to make it. The Lord says, you got to pray or you're going to give way to temptation. You just might as well accept it. If we're not praying, we're going to give way to temptation and not be ready. Likewise, we got to read God's Word every day. Just pray and read God's Word. I hope you pray and study the Scriptures. You know, some folks say, I don't know how to get all that organized. Father, I don't know how to read the Bible. Listen, there's all kinds of help available today. Amen? You know, some folks get the Word of God emailed to them every day with a little commentary. I don't know how to set all that up, Pastor. Talk to a fifth grader over here. They'll get you set up, all right? You all know how to set that stuff up. There's a Word Among Us books in the back. There's my daily bread. Church, there's just too much good resources out there for us to say, I don't know how to read Scripture. There's a lot of help available today. A lot of help. You can get on the bishop's website, and there's the word for the day with a little sermon, a little five-minute sermon. Yeah, five. You said 5 minutes? Father Pope, you need to study there. It's all there. You see, there's all kinds of resources. So pray, read Scripture. Get to God's house every Sunday, even when it rains. Yes, even when it's raining, get to God's house. The Lord says, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I remain in you, and you in me, and I'll raise you up on the last day. But he warns, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. We got to get to God's house and receive the sacraments and hear a word, and I hope you get to confession during Advent. Don't let Advent go, come and go without getting to confession. You know, the just getting ready means taking a minute and saying, where am I going with my life? What are my priorities? Am I just running around following the urgent things and forgetting the important things? You know, the urgency has a way of eclipsing the important things. You can run around putting fires out all day, but sometimes you just got to stop and look at what's really important in life. And so you see, there's all kinds of things to do to get ready. We got to get ready. And the Lord is saying, just spend some time praying, reading Scripture, getting to God's house, and repenting of any unrepented sin in your life. All right, so first of all, ready. That's our first word. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare. If you're getting a dignified house guest to come, you're going to clean up the house. Amen? We got a clean house. So first of all, ready. Secondly, right. The text says, make straight the Lord's paths. Make straight his paths. Now, one of the other texts says, adds to that, the winding road shall be made straight. Now, the text says, make straight the way of the Lord. What is the winding road a symbol of? A winding road is a symbol of shifting priorities. It's a heart that's not steadfast, a heart that's not straight on with the Lord. You know, it's just an amazing thing. We just got to set our path to God, and we got to keep moving in that direction. But what happens is, we human beings are wayward, wayward. We're over here, we're over there. We know we need to be heading this way, and we're all over God's green acre. Are you praying with me? We get all lost and wayward, and our priorities are shifting, and we all focus on all kinds of things that in the end are less important, and we ignore the things that are most important. I didn't say these other things in life have no importance. I just said that we got to get straight, and we got to know where we're going. Now, most of us are pretty smart. I'm a smart guy. I know how to drive from Washington, D.C. to New York City. I'm smart. I can pull that off. You know, and therefore, if I'm heading from Washington, D.C. to New York City, and I see a sign that says, South Richmond, I know that, hey, I'm not taking that road. But church, why aren't you and I sometimes smart enough to say, when we see we're trying to head for God's kingdom, and we see a sign that says, Sin City, next exit. Lord have mercy if some of us don't often take that. Instead of walking the straight path of the Lord, we're all over the place, see? And we're doing stuff that, church, you can't go up by going down. You just got to make a decision that I'm going to walk this path. And if I do stray out of weakness, I'm going to get right back on that path, and I'm going to keep moving. Are you praying with me? Let me just read to you a something from Proverbs chapter 4. It says this, put away from you crooked speech, devious talk. Let all that be far from you. And let your eyes look directly forward. Look at that now. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight, and take heed to the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Don't swerve to the right or to the left, and don't turn your foot away from the path of the Lord. Again, looking straight. An old spiritual just says, keep your hand on the plow. You can't plow straight, you keep a looking back. Keep your hand on the plow and hold on. So again, always looking to follow the Lord straightway, following him. Be careful. There's a lot of exits that say Sin City. They're telling us to go in a different direction from God. Follow God's path, one path. So again, ready? Right. Get our paths straight. Next, reverence. It says here, every valley shall be filled in and every mountain shall be made low. Now let's start with the mountain for a minute. In the Bible, mountains are often used as a symbol for pride. Pride. Now pride is the sin whereby I think too highly of myself. See, I think too highly of myself. I didn't say you shouldn't think highly of yourself. We're going to talk about that in a minute. In the valleys. But I just said pride is the sin that we think too highly of ourselves. Now, let me just tell you, let's just cut to the quick. I'm just going to say it plain. God hates pride. He just can't stand it. God hates pride. He just can't stand it. Why? Because pride is the most serious sin that we commit. Every other sin has some pride in it. Because every sin somehow says, I know better than God. I have a better plan than God. And we just say, well, what God has said, I'm going to set aside and I'm going to do something else. You see the pride in that. The one who made the universe, and I'm going to know better than him. See, and there's a lot of other forms of that pride. I don't need to follow the Bible. The Bible is silly and old-fashioned, and I'm a smart 21st century kind of a guy. Oh, and I don't need to follow the church. The church should come in line with the 21st century. That's a lot of pride in that stuff. You know, church, God hates pride. He just can't stand it. And so he calls us to humbly listen to his word in the scriptures, the teachings of the church, and he asks us to humble ourselves and listen. So the first thing is every mountain of pride needs to be laid low. And then every valley needs to be filled in. Now, let the valley be symbolized by, if you will, low self-esteem, what the Bible calls despair, and most modern folks talk a lot about today, low self-esteem. Now, let me just be, there's an insight here that we don't want to miss. You see, low self-esteem is at the root of a lot of sins. Because we don't think properly of ourselves and we don't know our dignity that comes from God, we end up having low self-esteem and we sin. We sin on account of it. Let me give you a couple of examples. Whenever we're involved in gossip and envy, what we're almost always doing is cutting somebody else down. Now, I know none of you young people do that, right? None of you ever cut anybody down. You don't Joan on anybody, do you? See, they all say, of course not. Not a single one of them. But listen, I want you to know what's really going on. When we need to cut other people down, you know what's really going on? We need to feel better about ourselves. Because we don't feel so good about ourselves, we need to make somebody else look less good. You see the idea? See, when we're rejoicing in our gifts, and we're comfortable with the person that God has made me to be, I don't need to cut everybody down to size. I don't need everybody to be beneath me. I just thank the Lord for the gift. But you see, what happens is low self-esteem kicks in. Now I got to cut everybody else down, bring them down to my level. See the idea? Low self-esteem causes a lot of sin. Now listen, I'm also going to just say there's a lot of sexual sin that's committed on account of this. An awful lot of that goes on today, you know? Desperate to be loved, thought of as beautiful, thought of as handsome. So there's a lot of stuff going on, see? Sadly, some young women think so little of themselves that the price of their body is a pizza and a beer. That's low self-esteem. And a lot of young men think, oh, I gotta prove I got the goods, and I gotta build myself up by conquest and all that kind of stuff. Pardon the expression, but be the stud. See, that's low self-esteem. That's trying to be somebody by saying, see, somebody loves me. Somebody thinks I'm just great. But in the end, an awful lot of sad things go on. I'll tell you also, young people, peer pressure. That's all rooted. It only has power over you because of low self-esteem. You don't think you're good enough, so you got to dress like this and walk like that, and you got to get pierced and tattooed, and you got to run around and, you know, join gangs or, you know, use drugs or goof off, and there's an awful lot of stuff that goes. And by the way, I'm talking to you young folks, but peer pressure doesn't stop when you get older. A lot of us, see, we're thinking we gotta be somebody. So we're spending all this money to impress folks, and an awful lot of stuff happens because we don't think highly enough of ourselves. So we gotta do all the shenanigans, and we gotta do all of the stuff to prop ourselves up and make ourselves think we're somebody. You are somebody. You're a holy child of the King. Thank God you've been redeemed. You're somebody already. But you see, because we can't get in touch with that, low self-esteem, and we'll do anything to feel better about ourselves, including sin, and even serious sin, terrible gossip, joining gangs, doing terrible things just to fit in, to be liked, to be thought of highly, just to be loved. All of these things we do. And the scripture says today, the valleys of low self-esteem, the valley of despair has got to be filled in. Are you praying with me? So, mountains of pride, the valleys of low self-esteem and despair. And why do I call this reverence? Because you see, church, the scriptures say over and over again that we are to fear, that we are to reverence the Lord. And church, you know, when you really fear the Lord, you don't need to fear anybody else. See, what happens is we fear everybody except God. We trivialize God in our culture. We say, oh, he'll understand. He doesn't care. Yes, he does. But what happens is now we have to please 10,000 people, running around pleasing all these different. Why not just fear the Lord? There's one, see, instead of 10,000. And you know, there's an old saying, when I can get on my knees before God, I can stand before anybody. Are you praying with me? The solution to pride as well as low self-esteem is to fear, to reverence, to experience the love of God and to love God with a holy, reverential love. All I need to do is please God. I don't have to please everybody else. Are you praying with me? So again, here are our key words so far. Ready, right, reverent. Next, refined. The text says, the rough ways need to be made smooth. Now, church, I'm not talking to you, and I'm not talking to anyone here, but I'm just going to say some of us have some rough edges that need a little refinement, that need a little sanding. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking to the person next to you. But some of us can be hard to live with. Are you praying with me? Some of us, I said, can be a little hard to live with. We need a little refinement. We need some of the rough edges to be sanded off. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person next to you. You know, we can be unkind, unloving, unmerciful. We can also be lax and lazy. There's any number of things that can be going on, and the Lord says these rough ways need to be made smooth, you see. And so again, you see the vision here. The Lord is encouraging us to try to become aware of some of the things that make us a little difficult to live with, some of the known faults we have. Like, for example, I'm a motor mouth. I can't preach a brief one, you know. But we all have these little quirks and things in our personality, and sometimes the Lord can show us those things. You know, you can ask the Lord, Lord, show me some of my hidden faults. Now, careful, he might answer that prayer. Make sure you're all prayed up before you pray it, amen? But if you say to the Lord, Lord, show me some of my hidden faults, I promise you within 2 days you'll have an answer to your prayers. But again, I say to you, some of those rough edges need refinement. So again, our key words so far, ready. Someone say ready.
Ready.
Right, reverent, refined, and finally this, recognizing. Listen, church, the text says, all flesh will see the salvation of our God. Now, there's two ways of understanding the word see. One thing is that you're just sort of standing there and something comes into your visual area and it just hits your eyes and it's sort of something that's passive. But this word in Greek is about an active seeing. It really would be better translated in a way, look, look. So the text is saying to us, look for the salvation of God. Seek the salvation of God. Strive all day long to be looking for God. Church, God isn't just in church. God isn't just in the Bible. God is everywhere. Someone say, God is everywhere. That's an old catechism answer. Where is God? Everywhere. And so again, church, he's everywhere. He's in creation. He's in the color purple. He's in that person in the mirror you stare back at. He's in his word. He's in church. He's even in your enemy. He's in your spouse. He's in an awful lot of folks that you encounter all day. But look for God. Seek for him. Ask him to open up your eyes so that you can see his presence everywhere. One of the gifts to be sought is what we call the normal Christian life. And the normal Christian life is to be in living, conscious contact with God at every moment of my day. See, what happens to us is we're so forgetful. You know, we come to church and we're out the door and on to the next thing, and we can go sometimes for hours, days, without ever thinking of God. And I pray that's not true of anybody here. But you see the idea that it's so easy for our mind to become lost in all kinds of things and to forget that God is speaking to you and me in every event of the day, in every person we encounter, in his word, in that time of prayer, but all throughout the day. Yes, even in things at work, God is there, God is speaking. And so the text says, in effect, recognize that God and his salvation and his grace are available to you at every moment. Look for the Lord, seek him. So then we're done. All five principles now. Just a real quick review. It says, the text teaches us, first of all, to be ready. It says, prepare the way of the Lord. So, got to get ready, prepare the way of the Lord. Got to be right, make straight his paths. We've got to continue to remember to walk that course. Not only that, to be ready and to be right, making straight his paths, but we are to be reverent, that the valleys of despair and the mountains of pride need to be leveled, and that we need to, out of a deep love and reverence for God and an experience of that, experience our pride put down and our low self-esteem filled in so that we can walk that path with God. We need also to be refined. Every rough way shall be made smooth. Every rough thing in our life should be refined by the Lord. And finally, we should learn to recognize him, seeing him. It simply says again that all flesh must see the salvation of our God. Some principles for preparation. So you see, God and the church doesn't just say, prepare, prepare, prepare. Actually gives us some good advice today how to do it. Amen? We got to really work at getting ready. We got to walk the right path. We got to, if you will, allow the Lord to fill in those valleys of despair and take down those mountains of pride. We got to learn to reverence him. We've got to learn, if you will, to let him sand off some of those rough edges of our personality and learn to look for him all throughout the day. Church, an awful lot. But comes down to those five words. An old song just says, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be one of his disciples. I want to walk in the newness of life. So let me be a follower of Christ. What do I have to do? What do I have to say? What do I have to do to walk in his narrow way each and every day? Again, follow him, follow the cross, follow some of these principles. The church cries out today, prepare. Christ is coming. And we're going to answer to him one day. Got to get ready. Got to get ready. Got to get ready. Prepare. Amen.